Hello, welcome back to Tech Unfiltered, and you are streaming on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM and streaming online at weft.org. Welcome back, everyone. It's Tech Unfiltered, and we're going to be talking about, obviously, some technology. But, you know, last time we were on the show, we talked about artificial intelligence and all of that sorts, and how it's been really impacting the world. But we're going to look at a different perspective of technology. So when people hear technology, they think about, obviously, AI, robots, apps, new gadgets, and faster everything. But one of the most powerful uses of modern technology isn't about the future at all. It's actually about the past and how we harness the past. So, I'm going to be talking about a almost 500-year-old painting that still is mysterious today. And that's the Mona Lisa. Now, a lot of people, like, a lot of you might be asking, like, why are we talking about the Mona Lisa? Like, the Mona Lisa is, how is that incorporated to anything in technology? But it's actually one of the best examples of how computer science, engineering, physics, and digital imaging are changing the way that we understand human history. For centuries, people could only study Mona Lisa with their eyes. And human eyes are amazing, but they're limited. We only see a tiny portion of the light spectrum, and we can't even see through the layers and layers of hard work in the Mona Lisa. We can't detect the microscopic elements, and we can't even measure the surface textures or anything like that. But what can do is technology. But when scientists pointed modern engineering tools at the Mona Lisa, they didn't just learn new details. They actually discovered that Leonardo da Vinci, which was the maker of the Mona Lisa, he made it so much more complicated than we ever thought that would actually happen. So, just to get some background, Mona Lisa is this woman. She is in the Louvre, France Museum, I believe. I don't know the specifics of that. But she's in that museum right now, and millions of people come see that painting because it's been such a shocker for everybody in the world for so many years. And the question is, why? Well, a lot of people say that when they look at the Mona Lisa, you can't really see whether she's smiling or not. Or it seems like anywhere you are in the room, she's always looking at you, like she's watching you. And then more people are more concerned about the background. Like, what is going on in the background? Like, if you see at the background of the Mona Lisa, it's like mixtures. It's like you don't know what's going on. It feels like kind of like a fantasy, but it's not a fantasy. It's this woman. And in fact, Leonardo da Vinci worked on this painting for almost 15 years. And he actually died with this painting. So a lot of people don't even know if it's actually finished. And so this brings a question of, Why was this painting so important to him? Why did he spend the last years of his life on this? And that's what we're doing. We're using technology to figure out what is this? So one of the first breakthroughs were actually multispectral imaging. This is where engineers and physicists use cameras that capture images across different wavelengths of light. For example, we obviously see the light that we see, which is the colors of the rainbow. But there's also ultraviolet and infrared. But why does that matter? It's because paint and varnish and underdryings all react differently to different wavelengths. So when researchers scanned the Mona Lisa with infrared reflectography, they saw something nobody had seen, the underdrawings. So how many times did he paint over the same painting over and over again? And Leonardo didn't just paint perfectly. Under the visible image, there were earlier sketches, changes in the position of hands, refinements in the face, adjustments to the composition. This tells us actually something huge. It's the fact that the Mona Lisa that we see today one, might not be finished, and two, is a result of so much mistakes. Now, a lot of people think that there's, like, a different Mona Lisa, like, behind the actual Mona Lisa, and the actual Mona Lisa is just a mask for the real Mona Lisa, which I don't really buy it, but I think that there, if you look at the infrared, it's just, like, multiple, like, Mona Lisa's on top of each other. And it's probably because if he's spending 15 years of his life doing this, obviously he wants this painting to be good. But he wasn't just treating this painting as a one-shot masterpiece. He was experimenting, correcting, and using, like, oil paint to, like, do that. And that discovery actually reshaped how historians saw the Mona Lisa, and how he was, what Leonardo da Vinci was actually doing was actually a really visual experiment. So, oh, and also I would like to add is that the Mona Lisa was really, like, if you see the face of the Mona Lisa, Leonardo da Vinci was not only an artist, but he was a scientist, he was a mathematician, he was a philosopher, he did philosophy, he did so many things. And if you look at the Mona Lisa actually has the golden ratio, or the golden mean, what we call it. And the golden mean is actually just a spiral. And that spiral is what we say is perfect. Actually, we see that in nature, in so many other things. And we can actually see that in the Mona Lisa, which is absolutely crazy. And it begs to differ, like, what, as a mathematician, like, such a successful mathematician, such a successful artist, what was he trying to show us? So one of the other things that engineers used was 3D laser scanning and surface metrology, and engineering tools used in manufacturing and material science. These systems measure surface depth at microscopic scales. And what they found actually blew people's minds, because some of Leonardo's paint layers are thinner than human hair. And in some areas, the glaze layers measure just a few micrometers thick. This technique is actually part of the famous sfumato style, where transitions between light and shadow are so smooth that there are no visible lines. Before this, people thought sfumato was just an artistic skill, and now we also understand that this was something that Leonardo da Vinci also used. So he understood, like, that a point that, like, oh, if a paint stroke, or, like, a big paint stroke and a light paint stroke, and the fact that he made the paint stroke so tiny even makes it more mesmerizing about the Mona Lisa, because the Mona Lisa is such a, it's not something that he just painted. It's, like, he microscopically painted it, which is just, like, spectacular. And then, of course, a lot of things that people are debating is her smile. Like I said in the beginning, people don't understand her smile. Is she smiling? Is she frowning? Is she, like, we don't know what she's doing. And actually, through the the spectral imaging, the multispectral imaging, we saw that the smile was changed so many times. So it's really something that's interesting to see, like, did he change that smile multiple times, or did he, like, what was this meant for, this smile or this frown or whatever it is, was it meant to confuse people, was it meant to like look into something else? And they also, on top of this, they did this only to figure out what the smile did. They used digital image processing and neuroscience models to analyze spatial frequencies in the image. So your eyes process different types of visual details in different ways. Fine details like sharp edges are processed differently than soft gradients. So the Mona Lisa smile lives mostly in low spatial frequencies. So it's soft shading and it's not sharp lines, which is what we can see today. So when we look directly at her mouth, which is your central vision, doesn't really pick up strongly. But when you look at her eyes, your peripheral vision detects those soft shadows and the smile seems bigger. So depending on where you're looking at in the painting, the smile actually changes. And this is how Leonardo actually played with the human visual system. So then we have X-ray fluorescent and spectroscopy. That's a big word. A technique from physics labs. This lets them detect the chemical elements in each paint layer without touching the painting. Obviously, we don't want to touch the painting. We want to make sure that it's preserved. So they identify the pigments made with lead, and they identified the mercury, the iron oxides, and the rare materials. And this reveals actually the trade networks and the costs and how Leonardo sourced these materials, because it actually showed how much Leonardo traveled. He traveled with this painting. So he used so many different type of materials when making this painting, which we could use technology to understand where was he at that time or what was he doing? Why did he buy this specific paint? And it actually kind of reinforces the idea that the Mona Lisa wasn't a finished product. It was actually an ongoing process that was happening. And obviously, we can use these technologies to change with so many paintings. Like, the Mona Lisa isn't the only painting we're using this technology for. But it is certainly the most interesting and the most people are intrigued by. Because not only that, if you look at the background, they're using digital process imaging as well as multispectral imaging to figure out what's happening in the background of this painting. For example, in the background of this painting, you can see that there's bridges or there's mountains from different countries in the same background. It's kind of a fantasy. And as well as that, they use digital image processing and multispectral imaging to look at the eyes, and they saw that there was hidden letters in there. There was a P, and there was a P in one eye, and there was a V in the other eye. But the P in one eye, they're kind of, don't know if it's a P or a B, but it's really showing what was he trying to tell us. And as well as that, there was in the bridge, if there's a bridge right next to the Mona Lisa, and right under the bridge there was actually a number. I don't remember the number off the top of my head right now, but it was, a lot of historians are thinking that this number was actually from the year that bridge collapsed. Because the bridge that he painted collapsed later during his time when he was living. So maybe he painted that to show a tribute to that bridge. And obviously he had some harsh feelings or good feelings about that bridge. So we can see that the Mona Lisa is very intricate. It's not just a painting. And we have used so much technology to try to uncover this. And it shows that technology really expands the human perceptions of what we can see through. So we can see through those time, through those layers, through those materials. It really proves that creativity has always involved science and engineering, even though that this may be a painting. This is something that we're using science and engineering to find. And Leonardo wasn't just doing a painting. He was experimenting with optics and all sorts of other stuff. And 500 years later now, computer and engineering tools are helping us finish, decode what he wants us to see. And even now, we still haven't done that. And I don't know, it's really something, I think in the future, we will definitely see more things coming about this. So before we go on our music break, here's a quick PSA. Old-time country music is still on the air at Weft. Kurt Paul and his old-time country bluegrass and a rockabilly jamboree is now on every Saturday afternoon from 2 until 4. Tune in for 2 hours of great classic country, bluegrass, rockabilly, and all of your old-time local favorites. Saturday afternoon starting at 2 on 90.1 FM and streaming worldwide at weft.org. So this is Tech Unfiltered, and we're just going to go on a short break, but I hope you guys have a great day. Hello, welcome back, and you are listening on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. Hello, this is Tech Unfiltered, and we're jumping right back in into, yeah, we talked about the Mona Lisa the last time, but we're going to be talking about another thing. So we're going to be talking about how technology can uncover not only just a 500-year-old painting, but also the planet, the ocean, the sky, and even the universe. There is an entire invisible world around us, not metaphorically, but physically invisible to human biology. Our eyes are limited. We honestly only see a tiny slice of reality, and there's so many more things that are happening in this world that we probably have no idea. But modern engineering has actually helped us give us kind of like superpowers. We can now see heat, we can now see underground, we can now see through forests, we can map the ocean floor, we can see galaxies born billions of years ago. So, one of the biggest ways that they are currently using engineering right now is thermal imaging. Your eyes see light bounce off objects, but everything around you is giving off infrared radiation. Kind of like how they use the infrared technology to see more things into the Mona Lisa. But with thermal cameras, thermal cameras can actually see it. These devices were developed through physics, materials engineering, and sensor computer design. And instead of capturing visible light, they detect heat differences. And those differences can reveal things humans never could. Firefighters use thermal cameras to see through smoke and burning buildings. They can spot people trapped behind walls or under debris because human bodies glow differently than other things in your surroundings. For example, if you were holding a thermal camera to the wall, it would just be blue, like because there's no heat coming off that wall. But if you point it to a person, it will just be red because that person is like emitting heat. And on top of this, wildlife researchers use it to track animals at night without disturbing them. And even search and rescue teams use drones equipped with thermal cameras to find lost hikers in the forest. And your eyes might just see darkness, but technology helps us see the temperature, helps us see what is actually happening. And it really is just amazing to see how much technology is changing the world in such a good way. And not only top of that, there's so many other ways that technology is used. For example, now this might sound like science fiction, but lasers mapping the ground through jungle canopies. This technology is actually called LIDAR, light detection and ranging. It works like radar, but with laser pulses. An aircraft or drone sends millions of tiny laser bursts toward the ground. Some bounces off trees, some reach the ground. Sensors measure how long it takes each pulse to return back to the drone. And at the forefront of this shift It's a kind of like a remote sensing technology, and it helps us see the world in such a spatial precision. And this information is processed into ultra detailing 3D maps of landscapes that would otherwise be obscured from our view. For example, like if you fly over the Amazon rainforest, you're probably only gonna see trees. But there's so much more that is happening that we can't see with the human eye unless someone goes down there and tracks everything for every minuscule feet of the Amazon rainforest. So really helping us understand the landscapes of our world really, really would be extremely interesting. And these computers build these 3D landscapes in order for us to understand, or order to understand the wildlife, order to understand where can humans go, where can humans cannot go. And it also helps us understand what are good places for wildlife to be, how will wildlife be interacting in certain places, and also where, for example, there's a lot of species that that are currently endangered. Where would they benefit the most? And on top of this is how archaeologists discovered entire ancient cities hidden under jungles or hidden under it's actually hidden under Central America and Southeast Asia. Roads, temples, irrigation systems, invisible from the ground. And just honestly, that in itself is just honestly crazy. The fact that they can just find a whole city underneath the jungle. And it really also helps us understand what was the world like before us, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. How was it like us? How were these people living? And using this technology, we could understand what these ancient cities looked like. And a lot of people, I know a lot of people assume that probably ancient cities wouldn't have sophistication as obviously the modern world, but actually they did so many amazing things, like irrigation systems. Like they really created like their own, you know, their own paradise in kind of a way. And it's so interesting to see what do they, like using this imaging, like prioritize? Yeah, what do they prioritize? Like obviously if they're going to prioritize farming, they're going to have tons of integration systems all around these landscapes in order for these crops to get water in such humid areas. And humans couldn't see this obviously because it was under a jungle, but engineering gave us x-ray vision and computer technology helped us to see this so that we could really put our heads and understand what were they doing. And not only this, we actually also mapped the ocean floor, because light doesn't travel far underwater, but sound does. So engineers used sonar, sound navigation and ranging. And these ships send pulses into the water. Those waves bounce off the ocean floor and return. Sensors measure the timing and intensity, building maps of underwater mountains, trenches, and structures. This tech has honestly discovered underwater volcanoes, shipwrecks, and entire mountain ranges beneath the sea. And this also actually helped us find the Titanic. The 1985 discovery of actually the Titanic was achieved through revolutionary and collaborative effort between the American and French teams, utilizing cutting-edge deep-sea technology, led by Dr. Robert Ballard of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, or the WHOI, and Jean-Louis Michel of IFREMER, IFREMER. The team moved from traditional sonar mapping, which had been previously used to locate ships and shipwrecks, and instead They actually employed a new strategy based on telepresence, using an experimental unmanned camera sled called Argo that was towed behind the research vessel Nor to scour the seabed 12,500 feet below. So they not only used sonar, but they actually used new technology, including sonar, to find the Titanic. The technological breakthrough relied on Argo's abilities to transmit live video feeds of the ocean floor, allowing researchers to spot debris rather than the ship's massive hull that it had. So while the French team had earlier mapped the area with a side scan sonar, or a SAR, it was Argo, equipped with highly sensitive low-light cameras and strobe lighting, that ultimately identified the debris trail of the sunken vessel. On September 1st, 1985, this technology allowed the team to pinpoint one of the Titanic's massive boilers, confirming that they had found the site. This strategy was heavily influenced by the U.S. Navy mission, in which Bullard used the same technology to locate sunken nuclear submarines or the USS Thresher and the USS Scorpion. And by studying these wrecks, Bullard learned that falling ships create a long, tapered debris field as they break apart, with lighter materials drifting further than heavy ones, kind of like a breadcrumb trail in the ocean, which helped us, with that knowledge, helped us find the Titanic. And obviously, he did more missions looking into this, including a three-person submersible Alvin in a small reportedly operated vehicle that was designed to carry and look at the ship's broken hull that, at that point, they only found the ship's boiler. But they actually made new technology to find the broken hull and to photograph the interior, such as the grand staircase, without risking human lives. Which was honestly amazing that they're using multiple types of technology to understand how the Titanic was built and what happened in order to understand what's going on. And this combination of live video, ROV, and submersible technology, it actually kind of fundamentally transformed deep sea archaeology, which we usually only see archaeology kind of in our like in Egypt, or a lot of people, that's mostly where we hear of things. But it's really interesting having deep sea technology in the ocean. And it helped us see the Titanic in a different way, because not only did they find the grand staircase, they found the rooms, they found what people most likely survived, what people most likely don't, what were their rooms compacted with, how many life vests were there. They understood so many things from just that live video, the live video that they were using. And not only that, we could also see the universe differently with radio telescopes. So when we look at the space with our eyes, we see stars and visible light. But space is a blasting energy across the electromagnetic spectrum, radio waves, X-rays, gamma rays. And radio telescopes help detect signals we couldn't see. They found pulsars, spinning neutron stars, emitting rhythmic radio pulses. They've mapped cosmic background radiation from the birth of the universe. And understanding how did our planet Earth kind of come together. Obviously, we don't know what happened before the Big Bang, but we also know what happened at the start. So we use these radio telescopes to understand what is kind of happening here. So technology didn't just help humans do things faster, but it also helped humans expand what we saw of the universe and see it in a bigger picture. And our eyes, ears, and skin evolved for survival, and obviously we see what we see, but it helped us operate beyond those limits into deep oceans, ancient forests, burning buildings, and even distant galaxies. And it helped us not only just explore the world anymore, but look at the layers of reality that we are seeing right now that may just be beyond reach. Now, before we head on to our music break, here's a quick one where it's saying, this is WEFT Champagne 90.1 FN. Listen to Democracy Now! Every weekday afternoon on WEFT Community Radio. It's 5 o'clock, and this is the WEFT Courier, a daily information service of WEFT Today. We broadcast The Poet, The Poem, and follow and 5 o'clock, followed by The Catch Beat at 5:30. So, you are listening on WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org, and we will be back. Hello, welcome back to Tech Unfiltered, and you are listening on WEFT 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. So far, we've talked about technology revealing hidden layers in art, invisible layers in the world around us, but maybe the most powerful place technology has turned its gaze is actually inward. For most of human history, the human body was a mystery. People didn't understand pain, illness, and injury, only the symptoms. And if something was wrong inside, you couldn't see it. You could only guess. The body was kind of this mystery box. But modern technology has changed that. So computers and engineering didn't just give us faster communication or smarter machines. It gave us ways to look inside living human beings without even opening them up. And that might be one of the most important technological revolutions ever. So understanding what was truly going on. For example, for so many years, the average age of death was less than 60, and now it's close to the 70s or 80s, which really is thanks to technology. And one of the earliest breakthroughs of this amazing technology was X-rays, when Wilhelm Röntgen discovered X-rays in 1895. He revealed that invisible electromagnetic waves could pass through the soft tissue, but not bone. So for the first time, doctors could see fractures, foreign objects, and internal structures without surgery. It was the first moment humans realized that there are layers inside of us and technology can reveal them. And how we see with these electromagnetic waves is kind of how we also see the ocean floor. We send rays through the human body, and then when something is in the obstruction of it, it bounces back. And as a result, if there's a lot of those rays, we can see an image. And a lot of times, it will either be a foreign object, it will be a fracture, or it will be an abnormality in the body. And it really helped us see what we could truly do. But honestly, X-rays were just the beginning. Then came MRI, which is magnetic resonance imaging. So this engineering, physics, and biology work together. MRI machines use powerful magnetic fields and radio waves to detect signals from hydrogen atoms in the body. And since the human body is mostly water and water contains hydrogen, this technique can generate incredibly detailed images of soft tissues, muscles, ligaments, organs, and most importantly, the brain. So MRI didn't just improve medicine, it changed our understanding of what the brain even is. Before imaging, the brain was studied mostly after death. Now scientists can watch blood flow change in real time as someone thinks, moves, remembers, or feels emotion. Functioned MRI shows which parts of the brain activate different tasks. facts. And that means we're not just studying anatomy, we're studying the living thought and helping us see where, because we don't want to just study someone after they died. We want to make sure that we prevent that. And the human body itself is already so intricate, but the brain is even more intricate. And the neural pathways and the receptors that are in there are helping us understand that and helping us understand what we can do to prevent was honestly a huge breakthrough. And it didn't just do that. It also came a major leap, which is ultrasound imaging instead of radiation. Ultrasound uses high-frequency sound waves that bounce off tissues and create live images. It allows doctors to see developing fetuses, heart movement, blood flow, and organ function in real time. Something that was once hidden and like a baby developing in the womb became visible and monitorable. And this didn't just improve healthcare, it changed the emotional experience of pregnancy, parenting, life itself. Technology made the unseen visible, and it allowed us to understand the development of humans, and on top of that, helped increase the life expectancy for women who are giving birth, because being able to monitor this allowed for so much. So as a result of this, it allowed for better health care and help for women. So really, it was just such an amazing innovation. But then not only that, there's also CT scanning. Computed tomography, a CT scanner, rotates x-ray beams around the body and uses computer processing to create cross-sectional slices of the body. It's like, think of it like slicing the body into digital layers. That's doctors can detect tumors, internal bleeding, and organ damage with incredible speed. So the theme here is kind of consistent. Layer by layer, technology removes like the mystery of the body. But it's not just imaging. It's created wearable sensors that constantly monitor internal signals, heart rate monitors, glucose sensors, sleep trackers. These devices turn invisible biological processes into data streams. Your heart rhythm, once felt only through a pulse, is now a graph. Your sleep, once subjective, is now measured in stages. We've gone from I feel tired to I got 1 hour of deep sleep. And technology transformed those sensation into numbers. And another one is prosthetics. Prosthetics are another area where engineering reshapes our relationship with the body. Modern prosthetic limbs aren't just replacements. They integrate with muscle signals and sometimes neural signals. And sensors detect muscle movement in the residual limb and translate it into motion. Some prosthetics even return sensory feedback, letting users feel pressure. That blurs the line between biology and machinery. For example, even pacemakers and how pacemakers work to keep the heart going. And then on top of that, we have genetic sequencing technology, where DNA is microscopic, invisible, but it helped us now read genetic code. That means we can detect inherited diseases. Now it's not just preventing something. We can prevent something when it never even happened. And technology isn't just seeing organs anymore. It's seeing information inside cells. This shift has changed how we think about health. Medicine used to be reactive. You can get sick, then get treated. Now it's predictive. Wearable scans, genetic testing means doctors can detect risks earlier. The body went from a mystery to a monitored system. But there is also a philosophical shift. Now we can see more inside ourselves. We can relate to our bodies differently. We don't just feel, we tract. We don't just rest, we optimize. Technology has given us insight, but also responsibility. And just like earlier segments, the big theme retains technology, expands human perception. It lets us see inside paintings, inside the earth, and now inside ourselves. The human body used to be unknowable territory, but now, through technology, it's mapped in layers. We've built tools that reveal the invisible, not to replace humanity. This is Tech Unfiltered. I am so glad to be doing this. You are streaming on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org, and I will see you next time. Have a great day.